with Mo. I'm Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by Julieland.com. As always today, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Richard Avery.
Yo.
Today we are recording from a very hot and humid location here in the Hollywood area. My guest today is Dr. Chantel Tibbles, who is a sociologist, and she does some work in the adult industry. Chantel, thanks for coming by.
Hi, Mo. Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me.
So, Chantel, you work, well, technically you don't work in the adult industry.
I don't, actually. Technically, I do not work in the adult industry.
But do you work with the adult industry then?
Actually, I don't really think I work with the adult industry either. I'm a sociologist, mm-hmm. And so part of what you do as a sociologist is observe and you people watch professionally. That's what I do. And so the people that I watch professionally are members of the adult community. What I actually study are gender and labor, and so I look at gender and labor issues in adult. So when you say work with, that kind of sounds like I'm collaborating. And no, actually, all of the research I've done, projects I've done are me, myself, and I.
And so why did you choose to go and study the adult industry?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I'll give you the brief version. Is when I first started grad school in the early 2000s, I was going to school at Cal State Northridge. And I was studying all this stuff about gender and sex work and commercial sex, et cetera, et cetera. And what I started to notice is that when it came to talking about porn, everything was super bad. So porn was bad for women, bad for men, bad for humanity, sex trafficking, this, that, and the other. So I was reading all this stuff in school. In the meantime, I was out in the valley, hanging out, driving my car, going to Starbucks. I saw nothing that could be a dungeon. There was no, it didn't make sense to me that there was sex slave trade happening in this place that was, I don't know, legal adult content production. So even though maybe there was some sketchy stuff going on, I have no idea, it didn't match up. The holy horrible stuff that I was learning about in school with the fact that there was real life and buildings that had no basements and whatnot, it just didn't match up. So I was interested because I am nosy. And so there you have it.
And were you a fan of porn? Did you watch porn?
No. That was the thing that was most interesting. I mean, I of course, like anything, you know, when you're a kid, you're flipping through the channels of the satellite dish back in the day, pre-cable, and you see little scramble things here and scramble things there. But that was the extent of it. You know, I started college in 1995, so the internet was still super novel. I grew up in a sort of remote area, I was out in Palmdale and in Acton. And so there wasn't exactly, like, porn stores on the side of the road out there and whatever. So, yeah, like, it wasn't that I was a fan or not a fan. It just didn't really, it wasn't in my wheelhouse. That's just kind of the way it was. So it was really the puzzle that was interesting to me more than anything. Now, after so many years, there's definitely a lot of stuff that I find more compelling or like more or seems more artistic or significant. But in terms of, like, you know, personally using porn, it wasn't something. Interesting.
No, we came up in the same generation, basically. Yeah. So I dealt with the scrambled porn. And, you know, as a teenage boy, that little bit of nipple every so often definitely, you know, helped you get through that 30-second period of jerking. Listen, I'm not saying I was a big stud. I'm just saying you can knock out five in a row and be fine with a nipple and scrambled porn.
Just go buy a Playboy.
I grew up in Eastern Oregon where there was nothing like that. Very Mormon. So we didn't have access to that type of stuff. So literally,
you can't buy a Playboy if you're under 18 anyway.
Ooh. Oh, you could sneak it.
You could
steal. We used to steal them.
Stealing's wrong.
Well, it was. It wasn't until then I started subscribing to it when I was 12. And my mom was like, why are you doing this? And I went, because I like the pictures. And she was like, okay.
Oh, there you go.
The pictures are nice.
I mean, I still remember my very first Playboy was Denise Crosby. And who was Tasha Yar from Star Trek The Next Generation, which for some reason I was obsessed with her, and she wore like a clear like jacket and everything. I just remember this thing, and I must have jerked off to that thing 100 times.
Wow.
I got taken away at some point in time, and I got in trouble for it. And then I later realized, I think she may have been a lesbian. I'm going to go with. I have no idea why I was attracted to Tasha Yar from Star Trek The Next Generation, but it happened.
You know.
So you don't obviously. So you don't work in porn. But you're around porn a lot.
Yes.
What do your parents think about you working in porn? Do they know? Or, I'm sorry, observing porn. Do they know?
Yes, they do know. You know, that's an interesting question. I would say, given all of the misinformation out there, my parents don't exactly understand what happens in the adult industry, and they don't know that it's a professional place and this, that, and the other. And when I try to say, hey, this happened or this is happening, they go, oh my gosh. So it's one of those just don't ask, don't tell kind of things.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We won't ask. You just don't.
Yeah,
but going back to this whole subject, because this is what I've said for years. People have this preconceived whole idea what porn stars are like, porn business is like. You know, the whole illusion that I have to admit that I do create. But the truth is, you know, is a lot. It's actually a lot more boring than people really know. It's business.
Oh yeah.
And the successful people in the business, the Wickeds, the Vivids, those people. I have always known those people for years. Always like. They've treated it like a business. They could be selling donuts for all they care.
Right.
Product is product. Business is business. Those are the successful people. It's the people that get caught up in the stupid,
trying so hard
to be porn and porn stars. That's where it all gets a mess.
Yeah. That's actually something, one of the essays I wrote about in my book, one of the things that was the most shocking to me was that, you know, I had, when I was in grad school and I was doing all this research, I had an internship. So it was unpaid. I was there as this little flunky fly on the wall in a production company. And I have to admit, I was expecting something even just a little bit more glamorous than what it was, which was stacking boxes, moving boxes, following people around, driving people around, moving more boxes, unloading suitcases, bringing suitcases in, writing boilerplate, tedious press releases.
That's the same thing. My intern.
Yeah.
She did the same thing. She came here thinking, this is going to be crazy.
I know.
And then she started meeting the porn stars too. And then she started going, wow, they're just like me. They're my same age. And what are they doing? And, you know, why didn't they decide to go to college? And I did. And they got, she, now she worships them all and they all worship her and they're all friends.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting. The barriers that we put up around people, be it because of what they do or what we think that they do, whatever. And I mean, people have so much in common. If you just take a moment to have a conversation, and workplaces are so similar. Mm-hmm. Everybody is just as bored, just as looking for a way out of something, or like, oh, I want to check Facebook one more time before the boss gets back or whatever. It's just like any other workplace.
And that's a sad truth, is it is just like any other workplace. It's not as exciting as they think it is.
And I find that on set as well. Everybody thinks, oh, you get to see people have sex. You get to be around these hot girls. At the end of the day, listen, 8 hours, 10 hours in, I want to go home. I want to go home and watch TV. I want to sit on my couch. Listen, I love watching people have sex. It's a lot of fun.
But do you actually watch them? Because I don't. I kind of just take a nap.
It depends on who it is. It depends on who it is. Sometimes I'm just bored and I don't want to see it. If I'm kind of into the girl, I think she's hot, I'll watch it. But in general, it gets back to is now we're 45 minutes into the sex scene. The dude's having wood problems. I want to go home. Please somebody feed this guy a Viagra so I can get out of here. So after the third scene, girl porn to me is boring. So I don't like watch it. It's like, okay, you guys are both hot. Let's move on. You know, so, but I mean, it is a job. You brought up your book.
I did.
And I have actually my copy here on my lovely Kindle. It is called You Study What? Volume 1. Now, I have to read the entire title. One Sociologist's Journey Through Sex, Society, and the Adult Entertainment. I'm sorry, and Adult Entertainment.
That is the title.
Now, this is Volume 1.
Yes.
How many of these? This is a hefty volume of, I believe, about 40 pages.
Yes, roughly.
So this is five stories. So is this going to be a collection?
Yeah. What I'm going to do is I have five volumes planned, and I'm going to release them all. You know, five at a time, five stories at a time. So each collection will be roughly, you know, 35, 40 pages. There might be a couple bonuses here and there, but I'm going to release them all via this ebook form, and then once I have all of them done, then I'll release them as a print copy.
Now,
collectively,
I didn't know what I was getting into. I went ahead and picked up a copy of it, downloaded it, and I'm going through here, and there's five chapters, and it goes everywhere from working a booth at AVN to pegging, pegging, the oldest new trick in the book. Why did you choose the particular topics that you chose to write about?
Well, I mean, a lot of it, because I mean, I've had my website, pvvonline.com, for about a little over 3 years now. And so what I've been doing with that, you know, because I write academically quite a bit. I publish in law journals and sociology journals and all of that sort of rigorous, informed stuff that nobody reads. So it was kind of, it's so true. Nobody reads it. So at the same time, then there'd be all this stuff happening in the popular press about, you know, porn this, porn that, content this, content that. So I started that website to start engaging those conversations in a more real world kind of way. And when I started planning out the books, what I wanted to do with each one of them was engage a couple issues that have come up over the past 3 years that people ask me a lot of questions about or that are kind of controversial, like sticking points. People always ask me stuff about myself, so there's a couple little anecdotal things in there. And then I always wanted to do, you know, some dimension that kind of shows humanity of the folks who work in the business, be it performers or, you know, people behind the scenes. So I tried to create a collection that kind of balanced those three dimensions. Mm-hmm. So that's how that is. And the next volume will have the same balance, obviously different stories, different issues, whatever, but it seemed like a good way to kind of round it out because, you know, you could hammer everybody with these philosophical things, or I could tell these cutesy, embarrassing stories about me running out of a porn store in Texas, whatever, or you could balance them out.
Sure. So. Now, you were talking about you've written for different journals, things like that. Do you think any of your peers are going to be reading this book? And do you think they're going to have an opinion of you and what you wrote about, or do they keep quiet?
You know, I wonder. I've had a couple of friends who I went to grad school with contact me quietly off to the side and go, oh man, this is so interesting. In many ways, one, to know like exactly what I was doing and kind of getting myself into, because you have to put up pretty significant walls and blocks to handle and negotiate certain things. So, you know, obviously for the sake of privacy and for confidentiality, but also just in terms of what it's okay for you to be doing and not okay for you to be doing. And because all of my research centers around the adult industry, I'm doing the exact same thing that all my peers are doing, my academic peers, but they see it differently because it's related to the sex industry. So to have the opportunity to be like, no, I was at this AE show, like standing there holding back a line of people like waiting to see girls and all of that. It's really refreshing because those are things that I actually did for my research, but I always had to kind of tamp that down.
Keep
so
ahead.
I've had people, you know, academic peers contact me again, quietly, DM wise, whatever, and say, this is so interesting. Both in terms of what I was doing, but also in terms of e-publishing, because there really is nobody else out there who is an academic putting out semi-research, semi-autobiographical stuff in this manner. Most academics publish either in journals or in you know, like university presses, and I actively chose not to do that. I had shopped this book proposal around quite a bit, actually, and everybody wanted either more academic or like a salacious expose. So I didn't want to do that. So I chose to do it this way. So I've actually gotten some good responses from peers, both just purely curious, but also about, you know, e-publishing. So that was kind of interesting. I do wonder sometimes what people think of what I do, but ultimately in the end, the fact that people are so preoccupied, like, with what I do tells me that I'm doing something right and something that needs to happen. So I really don't give a shit.
It's funny you say this because I always tell people, like, people on the outside have this preconceived idea what porn stars, the industry's like. And once they realize, like you said, they take the time to meet and talk, it changes everything.
Yeah.
And because I've worked in Hollywood for so long in all industries, that people get that whole concept of like, oh, we think the music industry is like this or this is like that. And you're like, once you know how the magic trick is done, it's not that exciting
it
anymore.
Really
isn't. Once you find out how they cut a girl in half, then you see that trick, you're like, whatever.
Whatever.
The magic's worn off.
Yeah. Oh, I think the mystery of porn, though, is still pretty real for a lot of people because
I don't think it is a mystery. I think it's the fantasy of porn.
Well, that's what I mean.
Men, and I deal with this all the time, they take it a little too seriously, they get obsessed, and you should see the emails we get and all the craziness that I have to deal with all my girls, and they take the shit a little too seriously, and I get emails complaining to me about, why are you doing that with her? Why are you doing that with her? And it's like, we're having fun. That's all we're doing.
Right.
What we do is because we're having fun. Otherwise, we don't do it. Right. And I'm sorry, it's not your fantasy. You know, and I try to remind people, we're not doing this for the fans. We're doing this for us.
See, and that's a really, really interesting thing, because sometimes people want to think that what is being done is their fantasy specifically for them. Oh, they don't like to think of the performers, one, engaging it because they want to, and then engaging what they like.
Well, I can go on for days on this conversation because I know more than I really want to know. I tell people all the time.
Don't we all?
I just, it's like my whole obsession right now with webcamming and the craziness that drives me up the wall. All my girls that are hookers and all that craziness that goes on with that. It's like, it's crazy.
Well, you mentioned fun. And so I'm actually curious, in one of the future volumes, is there going to be about a chapter about you having sex with a porn star? And you don't have to name
male or female.
But have you ever had sex with, we'll go with, a male porn star in the industry?
Nope, never. Oh. Sorry.
Do you have any desire to?
No. I was going to say, and surprise, here comes James Dean.
if we could, would you write a chapter? If we said, hey, James, come over and have sex with Chantel, would you want to write a chapter on that?
No.
No?
No.
Sorry. I mean, being honest, no, nothing against James Dean, but, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about. People, you know, oh, how do you watch all that porn? This, that, like, oh, all these people, all these hot people. It's like, would you want to have sex with one of your friends or your buddy or whatever? It turns into that kind of thing. And so the sex kind of pulls it out of it, at least.
Depends on how drunk
for me.
I am.
Yeah, no, I mean, all pistons firing and all of that. It's, you know, you're talking about people who...
They're professionals.
You're friends and you're professionals.
I always tell them, my philosophy is this: they're professionals, I'm an amateur, and I don't want to lose my amateur status, so we can't go there.
Well, there you go.
In case the Olympics comes around, and you know, I don't want to ruin my chances of being
in
the Olympics.
True.
You should.
That's a very good thing, and really, I think of it like that. Yeah. Exactly.
You should be like, I'm an amateur. Sorry.
100%.
Okay, no, seriously, how was James Dean?
I'll tell you later.
Okay, go.
Do you have any favorite porn stars?
Oh... That's an interesting question. I mean,
I'm talking not like sexually wise. I'm just saying as people you've met.
Who I just admire and think are amazing. Tonya Tate is somebody who is it possible for a woman to be smarter, more composed? But then also, it's so interesting to watch her because she can work a crowd or a group and be, you know, this ding-dong porn star or this sultry cosplay goddess or this mastermind behind her PR company. Yeah. She's an amazing individual.
Very busy girl.
Yeah, she's very, very busy. Yeah, she's somebody who I just admire, both as a friend and just as a woman, like a professional businesswoman. And yeah. She's amazing. Somebody who I actually don't know personally at all, but whose acting I really, really admire is Tommy Pistol. He's incredible. I just, the work that I get to see that he does, his range is really astounding. And then in terms of directors, I really love Jackie St. James and I really love Stormy Daniels. Just amazing content they put out. I really like it. It's not everybody's taste, but as a woman,
I didn't say anything
about that. I do. I really like those two. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Chantel, it's been amazing having you here today. And I'd like to have you back. Is that something you'd like to be doing?
I always want to see and talk to you, Mo.
Definitely.
And so you too, Richard.
We'll have to bring you back.
I wasn't even on your list. You could have lied.
Oh. So the book again. Is You Study What, Volume 1, and where can we pick this up at?
You can get it on Amazon.com. It's right there for you. And if you don't have a Kindle, you just download the Kindle app to whatever device you are using. It is there. It is lovely. It is $2.99.
That's fantastic. A great price.
It's 100% worth it.
And where else can we find you?
You can find me at ChantelTibbles.com. That's my homepage. If you want to see my ridiculous academic CV, it's there for you. You know, and you can also see me on pvvonline.com. That's where I do all of my public sociology about the industry. And I am super active on Twitter. It's at Dr. Chantel. Come say hi.
Everybody's really active on Twitter. I'd like to thank everybody listening to More with Mo. You guys can find me on Twitter at MoXXX, otherwise known as Mox. Or you can check out my blog, theaveragemo.com, where you can see some cool BTS photos from the sets that I work on. So check out next week's show. We're going to have Dr. Chantel back one more time. Thanks a lot.